shit in my past, shit in my future. Girl, I report, I don't wanna confuse ya.
What a girl can give it up for your living. You don't have to tick, tick, tick for your living. What a girl can give it up for your living. You don't have to tick, tick, tick for your living.
Aujourd'hui, Françoise n'a pas bonne mine. Au sol, des Kleenex, des mégots de cigarettes. Elle n'a pas eu encore la force de se lever. Pas un email, pas un coup de fil. Elle se raccroche à son t-shirt. Humant avec ardeur les arômes de son bien-aimé. Ce soir, Françoise perd où est la vie. Une poubelle qui déborde de conserve et de surgelée. Allez, Françoise, c'est ton ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Allez, Françoise, c'est ton ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Allez, Françoise, c'est ton ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Allez, Françoise, c'est ton ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Ce soir, Françoise, prends le destin. chocolat en guise de copine. Le cœur de Françoise avait eu un bleu. Des hectolitres de larmes qui lui rongent encore dans les yeux. Allez Françoise, c'est un ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Allez Françoise, c'est un ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Allez Françoise, c'est un ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle quand tu pleures. Allez Françoise, c'est un ami que je parle. Ressaisis-toi donc, tu n'es pas belle.
Okay, CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to William Shatner's Whisketeers here at not really sure what time, since I forgot to keep track of the time on today's episode. In the time I'm recording it, it's currently 11:45, but it's sometime between 4 and 4:30 in the morning right now when you're hearing me speak. I'm here with a friend of mine. Who do I got in the room?
Hello. This is Demetra. Nice to meet everyone.
Yeah, everyone says it's nice to meet you too. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Demetra is a cool friend of mine. She's got cool music taste, good conversation topics. Figured perfect person to have on the show. How's it feel to be on the show?
It feels pretty surreal. Because I was just on my way home and then was at an open mic at Jean Mont's, and then was inviting Zach, and he was like, why don't you come and talk instead? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's play some music. So yeah, kind of very, how do I say, like, kismet? Just, yeah, like good timing.
I have no idea what kismet means.
It's like cosmic timing. Like everything just kind of falls into place really nicely.
And as everything should be. I feel like everything does just kind of fall into place. Even when it feels like it was meant to happen, it did just fall into place because, you know, the unexpected could happen. We spoke a bit about the unexpected before. Could speak about it a bit more tonight. Got some cool topics coming to your ears. Yeah, don't really got much to say at the start of the show, since it's the start of the show. Got to get people hooked on the music, grooving a little bit, and then stuck for the long conversations. Yeah, you got anything to say?
I guess just listen to the books, because that's who I was playing last, and someone once described the books to me as what listening sounds like, especially the album Lemon of the Pink, but that's not what I was playing. But if you want to hear what listening sounds like, yeah.
Well, I could actually ask you a question. I've never listened to the books before. Tell me about the books. Who are they? What's their story? How'd you find them? And what do they make you feel?
Well, I found it. A friend of mine was recommending music to write papers to while we were in a class together, and she recommended the album The Lemon of the Pink. I know they're from New York. I know the guy now just has like a really nice Instagram where he like does a lot of interior decorating and has kids, but they're kind of like sonic collage where they have a lot of like found sounds and then like pile it on top of each other, and a lot of it sounds like very like asynchronous and then like kind of syncs up and like folky at times and like electronic at times. But yeah, they put me in a headspace that I don't think a lot of other bands put me in, which is very like, this is something very, very special. Yeah, and like sounds what listening sounds like, of like you hear like little tiny snippets and like your focus kind of shifts over like a landscape, but it's not very it's not as harmonious as like I think a lot of music is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. Definitely give the book a listen. Oh no, someone just tried to join this radio show just now. We could give it a shot, see if it picks up some feedback in the mic. One second while I boost up some jazz for a moment. Well, he's connecting to the audio. it still says connecting to audio, I think. Oh, no. And he's connected. We have someone that just joined this radio show, just hopped in the virtual room. Who do I have over here? I can't hear whoever just hopped in. It's not working for some reason.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What's up, Zach?
Now it's working. What's up, Chris? How's it going?
All right. How are you?
I'm fantastic now that you've joined William Shatner's Whiskey Tears here today. I'm here with my friend D. Here's D.
Hey.
Hi, D.
Sorry, trying to see Zoom. Hi. How's it going?
I'm in a very shadowy room right now.
And we're in a really bright room.
Yin and yang. Nice to meet you.
Hey, glad to have you here on the show, Chris. Anyways, we were just wrapping up this mic segment. About to get into some more music before some more talking parts. You got anything to say right now before we get back into it?
Just lovely to see your cherubim face.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyways, as Dee said, listen to the books. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is William Shatner's Whiskey Tears here at sometime between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. Stay tuned for a good show.
Violin until the mouth. across an endless arc stream, and the skies are set to dance into the silent symphony, and the velvet voices all shall join the singing. A rhythm faltering faintly fails the silver on its wings, and the velvet voices all shall join the singing. Cymbals flash, the drums they crash, the trumpets rise to song, a brass baton plucks bits of diamond from a glittering wall of almost dawn. The crystal chords, they slash the wind in humble majesty, and the velvet voices all shall join the singing.
Everyone sings the blues, everyone sings the girls. So I sent you on the prize. How you lose a tree? Who am I to say I know you need cash in this 100-yard dash? I moved a while ago and passed through New York. I'll be back in a minute. It's my turn to talk. For real.
know that you got some suntan lotion in that bottle of yours. Spread it all over my peeling skin, baby. That feels real good. All the skirts lapping up the sun. Lap me up. Why don't you come on and lap me up? Walking on the beaches, looking at the beaches. Well, there goes another one just lying down on the sand dunes. I better go take a swim and see if I can cool down a little bit. 'Cause you and me, woman, we got a lot of things on our minds, you know what I mean? Walking on the beaches, looking at the beaches. Well, you just take a look over there. For women, that's what I preach. Preach a man. Walking on the beaches, looking at the beaches. Oh shit, there goes the charabang. Looks like I'm gonna be stuck here the whole summer. Well, what a bummer. I can think of a lot worse places to be. Like down in the street, or down in the sewer, or even on the end of a skewer.
The most enlightened of all the political men in our time. We should strive to do things in his spirit, not to use violence in fighting for our cause, but by non-participation in anything you believe is evil.
Thank you.
Okay, CKUT 90.3 FM, you're listening to William Shatner's Whiskey Tears here at about 4:42 in the morning, I think, I hope. It's a good evening we got here, sitting with some good friends of mine. I got my friend Dee, I got my friend Chris in the room.
Good evening, Zach. Good evening, Dee.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's a pretty good evening. We've been listening to... Also, this is all Dee's music tonight, except for the backing tracks. I'm on the backing tracks on the vocals, but tonight's music is brought to you by Dee. Thank you, Dee, for the music.
oh, this is absolutely everything I want to do always, is just add soundtracks to everyone's life. So this is great.
You have a good life soundtrack. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, tasteful.
Tasteful. What else is tasteful? You have good taste in books too. That's a shitty way to bring it in, but we were actually talking about a book tonight before we started this episode, and then Chris joined us and the book came up again, but we refrained from talking about it that time. Dee's reading a pretty special book right now relating to the past year we just experienced, so I'm just going to pass the mic to Dee to talk a little bit about this book and share some things about it, what it's called, the gist of it, and then, yeah, if I got any questions for Dee, or if Chris has any questions for Dee, they'll come. So, yeah, here it is.
Yeah, so for context, my life goal is to become a death doula and death therapist and help people with death anxiety. And I listened to a really amazing podcast during the pandemic called Death in the Time of Not Knowing, I think, on the Irresistible podcast with Roshi Joan Halifax. And she wrote this book, which is called Being with Dying, Cultivating Compassion and Fearlessness in the Presence of Death. And it's been like really, really, I like think about and write about and talk about death a lot. And this has given me a lot of perspectives that I haven't really had before. Because like a Buddhist approach to death, with both like meditations and also just like thoughts and stuff like that, and just grappling with having certain uncertainty on the horizon and like how to be present with people who are dying, as we are all dying all the time, and how to do that and how to like implement that into your daily life is kind of what it's all about. And I don't know, it brought up some really interesting stuff that I thought I'd ask you guys about, like does I guess like what scares you more, pain or the thought of death itself, like the pain of dying or just death as a concept?
What pain of dying? Do you mean like a physical pain, like emotional pain, physical pain? I'll let Chris go first, and then I'll answer.
Yeah, I'm gonna say physical pain.
What about physical pain?
Yeah, I would say that's the bigger fear for me, because the other fear isn't really something that you can let take you over. It's like, it's just always going to be there. There's nothing you can do to control it. So, you know, why fret?
Yeah, that makes, I think she was also saying in the book that a lot of people, it is the pain part that freaks them out. I definitely am more of the opinion that the thought of like something like that type of transformation that I have no clue what's going to happen is the scarier part. Like, I didn't even think about the pain of death, and like I hadn't been thinking about the pain of death up until reading this book. It just kind of like threw me a loop.
Yeah, for myself at least, I share a common fear with Dee, and it's the fear of death. Like, that was a big fear that has overtaken me quite a few times throughout my life, and I never really thought about the physical pain of death. I think I was just scared of death itself and ceasing to be. It's kind of a weird thing. It was like, it still is a weird thing, but it was a lot more weird when I used to start thinking about it. Just the fact of not existing one day, it's just something that you can't really wrap your head around, because it's kind of impossible to do. Like, you can't cease to exist while you exist. Just like everything going black, or just like what the fuck happens, you know, like how does it just stop? I guess that's what scared me. And like, I don't know, losing loved ones, just like the whole thing of death is kind of fucked.
Yeah, and I definitely I think that's what this book is kind of trying to cultivate, is like obviously compassion and fearlessness and looking more towards the possibilities of transformation and to view the way that death is what adds meaning to our life. Of like having something like a finite framework is like, we can't look at anything that we love about life and not be like, oh, it's because we're never going to get time back in the way that we're viewing it, that anything has meaning. Or at least that's how I view it, of being like, we're having this conversation matters right now because we can't relive this moment over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think this, and like in the podcast she talks about how the pandemic as a rite of passage for like understanding impermanence in our lives, of like all you have is like what you have when you have it, and things can change that drastically, and things are changing that drastically every minute. So how do you live with that and live authentically with that, I guess, is kind of what that brings into question. I don't know if you guys have ever had thoughts about that, or like how like having like a finite framework on life, do you think that like has an impact on your day-to-day stuff, or does it kind of come up more like little blips or like little like reminders, you know what I mean?
I find that it's kind of a constant thing on my mind, like finity of things. Like if I find myself like, you know, just not really doing anything, just like idling, like trying to make better use of my time, you know, like realizing that it's precious and trying to make the choice of like, when you're doing something, like, is this most conducive to my health or not? Like thinking about, like, I've been thinking about that more throughout the pandemic for sure. But it's also like, it kind of saturates the way that I look at like resources and like, you know, having a carbon footprint and like the way I like get around and, you know, consume food and whatnot. Like all of this is fleeting, and that's why it, like, it's so important to try to like make the most of and be conservative with like you know, how you use things, how you use your time here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I was telling D that the pandemic really throws a lot of things into perspective for people on not only like death, but just how spontaneous it could occur and how randomly it could happen, you know, out of nowhere when you're least expecting it. We could be in another pandemic, you could die, your life like is always like, you're always like kind of so close to death, like I feel, and you take that for granted quite a bit. And I feel like a lot of people thought about that quite a bit during this time, and it changed their perspectives on it, some in positive ways, others in ways where they might be ruminating on it.
When I actually, when the pandemic first started, I was finishing up my undergrad, and I was writing my like what I call my like big death paper, because it was kind of like collapsing in like all the theories, every single thought I've ever had about this into one like massive paper. And a lot of it was centered around like ruptures, and that also talking about how I view the like what's been created in the mind body problem as things like we aren't actually separate, like the mind and body aren't really separate in how I view it, nor are we separate from our environment or from other people. It's just all like being. But that the mind body problem seems kind of like low key created to like make something infinite or kind of put into words this like weird feeling that we get that like it's the body that's decaying and you're going to make a problem of the body and make it a separate thing instead of being like we actually can't separate it from everything. And how we have these moments of ruptures like a pandemic where you're very viscerally aware of everyone around you and like how precarious everything is. That I do really wonder about, I don't know, I guess the effects of how people are experiencing their time and their bodies. And like, I know I definitely get, even like walking here on like a very familiar route that I hadn't walked since before the pandemic started, I felt so viscerally aware of like, this is very, very bizarre. I felt very like grateful to be here and still walking. But yeah, I don't know if anyone has, I feel like I was rambling for a little bit, but yeah, how do you feel about bodies?
Chris?
In the summer, like whenever it's opportune, I try to find a way to jump in the lake here in Chicago because I think it's like one of the most pure ways that you can like experience your body in space. You know, like swimming in a big body of water. I did that today, and yeah, I don't know, like that feeling of floating, like it's crazy that there's this whole, you know, overwhelming sensation. And yet that's not really like, that's all inside the mind, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes, like, I'm not sure what the whole mind body dilemma that you mentioned is 100%, like, but if you clarified for a second, I can maybe expand on what I'm thinking about, cause I might be completely wrong.
So basically like, okay, I'm going to do, like, this is going to be butchered, and this is terrible because I am both a psychology and a philosophy student, but it's basically, like, where the separateness of the mind and the body, and when, where does one begin and the other one end, and even the fact of, like, are they actually separate? I really like, there's this, like, book by Eli Clare, who's a disability justice writer, who writes, like, it was the first time I ever heard someone use the term, like, body-mind in, like, one word. And trying to look at it more as like being, but yeah, the problem of like separating, like there's a thing called the mind and there's a thing called the body, and they're in kind of not conflict, but kind of, there is a dissonance between the two.
I think it's, yeah, it's a dissonance, it's a miscommunication, and I think they're not necessarily different things. I think it's just a miscommunication we might have with our bodies or our relationship with our bodies. I brought this up, I think, on our last episode where I was talking about my meditation practice and like meditating with yourself and sitting and feeling your body. And then trying to place your mind in other parts of your body than your head, like putting it inside of your hands, putting your mind inside of your foot, putting your mind inside of your gut. Like, the mind isn't anywhere. It's not in the head. It's kind of just is everywhere. So in that respect, I don't really think there is a separation between the mind and the body. I think it's just easy to forget those things or to not spot them if you're not really looking for it, I guess. If you know what I mean, kind of.
Yeah, and I think kind of what Chris was talking about these instances, they're very life-affirming. Like these, like I definitely know I've been like having an intense yearning to be in a body of water because it's been like, I don't even know, like a year and a half since I have been, and it's the most life-affirming experience, at least I find it to be. And Yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard to separate oneself from cultural biases that we have, and we have such an individualistic and very separate and segregated culture that I grew up in the West, that it's, I don't know, there's cultures that don't have death, because as in the same way that a lot of people view as like an annihilation of the self, but it's just like a transformation, or even like cultures that have way better connections with like ghosts and spirit presence, and just how little we know about stuff like that, and how little we know about everything. I think, I don't know, maybe that's also something that the pandemic really taught me, of being like, we don't know anything. We literally, like, science is grasping at straws, you know.
On that note, like, it's interesting, like, connection with like ghosts and spirits, like, is so widely like ruled out as like crazy, while medicine, you know, is this like legitimate thing. But like, it's both, like, all of it is just at the core examining death in like different ways, different frameworks. And I don't know, there's no way to say that like one isn't, I don't know, they're both legitimate in their own ways, I think.
Can you hear me, Chris, by the way? Is my microphone working?
Yeah.
I played with the levels a little bit. I think one thing that we have to admit related to what Dee was saying is that we don't know everything. We can't ever know everything, and we kind of just have to surrender to that, because I feel like that is the big source behind, well, any fear is like the unknown, you know, and that we don't know it and that we can't grasp it. And sometimes you just have to surrender to the lack of control and the lack of knowing, because we crave to know more. We crave to research things, like the whole like enlightenment philosophy of like knowledge and wanting to know every single thing that we could, but there's just some things I don't think we'll ever be able to grasp, and I feel like that is the key to grasping it. Yeah, that's all.